This is episode one of the Errant Heel, the only sports podcast on thegoodmanproject.com. It's April 4th, 2012, 6 p.m. My name's Tom. I'm here with my co-host, Brian. Brian, say hi.
Hey, everybody. It's 7 p.m.
The clock on my computer is wrong. It's currently 7 p.m. Thank you, Brian. In case you couldn't tell, this is our first episode ever.
Yep.
And this is also my first podcast episode of all time.
I'm kind of an old pro, an old soldier.
Yes, Brian's been doing it for a while, so he's going to tell me all the tips while covering the microphone.
Such as getting the time right.
Yeah, that's a good way to start. And Brian, when I talk, should I look at you? Or should I stare directly into the microphone?
I mean, it's less awkward for me if you actually do make eye contact with me when you're addressing me.
Okay, I feel like it could be better if I just stare at the mic, though.
You think that would be less awkward for you?
Can I just do that for this one?
If that makes you happy, man. But I would maybe not lean so close to the mic.
Back up a little bit?
Maybe back it up.
Okay.
You're kind of blowing up the levels a little bit. It's okay, though.
I'm not very comfortable in the studio yet.
It's okay.
We're
working out the kinks here.
We're going to be good, guys. Don't worry about it. We are here to talk to you about sports. I hope that that's why you're listening to this. If not, you should just turn it off.
Whoa. Let's not go crazy.
Okay. We'll talk about sports and other stuff. We're going to try to be funny, thoughtful, insightful, all of the things that make for a good podcast. So I think the first thing we need to touch on is today, depending on what country or time zone you live in, I guess, is baseball opening day.
Yeah, it's opening day 1 of 7, or 2 of 7, I mean.
I guess it's, I would call it opening day 1.5.
Okay.
Because we had opening day in Japan, we had 2 games, and now we have this game in the giant Marlins Booger Stadium.
And the Vice City Marlins are playing
the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
And that's happening right now, and we watched a little bit of it, but now the TV's off so we can focus. And
serious
then tomorrow,
going on.
Tomorrow is real opening
so
day.
So maybe tonight, maybe it's opening night.
Yes.
Can we say that?
We could call it opening night. Right. I'm comfortable with that. So, Brian, did you watch any of the Marlins game, any of the opening festivities?
I did not see the opening festivities. I was actually stuck in traffic like a chump.
That sucks.
I did catch a couple of innings when I got here, though. I hear they were quite horrifying. Why don't you fill us in?
They were super horrifying. I got home just in time to watch the first pitch, and there was like buzz on the internet all day today about who it was going to be, uh-huh, because apparently the Marlins had allotted for a 5-minute standing ovation, so people were trying to guess who was going to come out.
Oh, it was a secret. They didn't know.
Yeah, they knew it was going to be someone big, but they didn't know who. And then I come home and I turn on the TV, and you know, all the players are at a home plate, and the guy announces that Muhammad Ali is coming out, and it's like, oh, that's cool, but you know, he's got all the Parkinson's and he can't really function. So you know, the crowd goes crazy for a little bit, and the gate and the outfield opens, and this golf cart comes out. Muhammad Ali is sitting on it, and next to him is the Marlins owner, Jeffrey Loria, who is super creepily, like, hugging Muhammad Ali. He's got, like, an arm over one shoulder, and he's holding his offhand, like, just grasping it, and, you know, Ali's shaking, and it wasn't that cool to see. And then, so the crowd's going crazy, which is nice, but the cart is moving just at a glacial pace. And after about a minute of cheering, just this, like, terrible, awkward, deathly silence comes over the crowd, and everyone's just kind of staring
all
at this
of sadness.
It was really bad, and so and then eventually the crowd rallies and like does a little Ali Ali chant, and that lasts for about 45 seconds, and that stops.
And at that point, we're halfway.
We're not even halfway. Like, no. He's still in the outfield. So then, by the time the cart gets to second base, like the poor PA announcer just like really quietly and half-heartedly starts going, Ali, Ali, and that's like reverberating pathetically throughout the stadium.
Yeah.
And then so the crowd tries to do it again, and then they stop, and then there's more silence, and then the cart gets to the mound, like the players take a ball from Ali and take pictures with him, and then, you know, that's it. And they give him a little cheer goodbye, and it was maybe one of the top 5 saddest things I've ever seen inside of a baseball stadium.
It's a great way to start.
Yeah, you should, I mean, you need to look up the video, because it's
I don't know if I want to.
Maybe not.
I don't know if I can handle that this week.
If you have respect for Muhammad Ali and the game of baseball, maybe you should just let that go.
What was worse, that or the Fray doing the national anthem?
I skipped the Fray doing the national anthem.
You skipped it?
I refused to watch
the Fray,
that.
Man.
I heard that they were going to be doing it in advance, and I was like, no. absolutely not. I'm not watching that. No, this but is I did
a horror show
on ESPN a few months ago. See the Fray do a video essay about Tim Tebow.
Oh, which really? Was just like, I bet that was stellar.
The worst things you can imagine colliding into one terrible black hole. So yeah, that's opening night. It was great.
Super depressing.
I was also excited
welcome
to get
back baseball.
Yeah, welcome back baseball. I wanted to get my first look at the Marlins' new stadium, though.
Uh-huh.
There's been a lot made of it, and it is kind of
glorious,
kind of hideous and
hideous. Okay.
Well, you could say stylish, but also like dumb.
Okay.
I don't. You've probably heard about the sculpture they put in center field.
Ah, yes.
It's this giant, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like this bubble-gummed Moloch just rising out of the wall, and it's got like dolphins and palm trees, like
neon colored surfboards.
Yeah, and it just looks so dumb. And the outfield wall, I didn't know until today, is actually lime green.
Okay,
which is I feel like that would have to be distracting for
everyone
involved, like players, especially the hitters. Like if you're looking at a lime green wall, that's no fun.
Yeah.
The one cool thing I did like about it though was in the left field outfield, they have just like a giant glass wall that looks right out into the Miami skyline.
Okay.
So if you're basically standing at home plate and you look out in left field, you can see the city of Miami, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
So that's like, you know, one cool thing among 10 stupid things. Like the fish tanks behind home plate.
Yeah, I mean, how many games before like PETA comes down hard on the Marlins for
right.
like, torturing fish?
Especially if one of those breaks or like even
like,
comes close to breaking.
We gotta pull it.
I mean, I've seen PETA get angry over much smaller items than that.
I mean, they're the worst, but that's a whole other podcast.
So, you know, opening night it was going okay. I watched a few innings. You know, Bud Selig was in the booth just being like just a being dumb old grandpa like usual. That was okay.
Okay.
Oh, last thing I wanted to mention was they showed Jeffrey Loria behind home plate, and he had a ring on. I don't know if it was a championship ring from when the Marlins won it, but it was probably like the size of a small dog. It was horrendous. And he was definitely flossing it for the camera.
Yeah.
Like, he knew the camera was on him, so he brought his hand to his cheek.
Is that Miami?
He's like, I'm just resting my hand on my cheek here. Oh, is that my...
how I'm comfortable.
My giant 9 billion carat championship ring? Did you get a look at that? And
I don't know if you guys saw that. But
that really annoyed me, because I hate, you know, rich baseball owners. They're kind of big jerks.
Is there another kind of baseball owner?
Well,
who's the scrappiest major
like league? Like the nicest one? I don't know, man. I think they're all kind of just terrible rich jerks. I don't know. Maybe I'll look that up.
Okay.
I'll find you a nice
next
one
week,
for next week. And we'll talk
about
it.
Countdown of the top 5 most tolerable baseball owners.
Right. So, we're pretty big baseball fans, Brian and I.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything particularly this year, Brian, that you're really excited to see unfold?
I mean, I'm actually pretty excited to see what the Marlins can do this year. I think
that's
the new look Marlins.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Ozzie Guillen.
Yeah.
I think he's a lunatic. I'm not a big fan of Jose Reyes without his dreads, though. I think he's lost his mojo.
That's the thing. I didn't even know he lost his dreads until tonight.
Yeah.
I turned on the game and there are no dreads. I was like, what the
like,
shit
is
this?
Clean shaven fellow.
Yeah. And, but no, I am also excited about the Marlins. They have a really exciting lineup. Formerly Mike, now Giancarlo Stanton. I don't know.
Which is a way cooler name.
I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he mashes taters really hard.
And, oh, he mashes.
He mashes
lots
of
brothers.
Taters, yes. And then, of course, Ozzie Guillen and Carlos Zambrano. Don't forget, he's in the mix. And I feel like with him being on the field at the same time as Hanley Ramirez and Ozzie Guillen being on the bench, I feel like that can combine into some sort of storm where Carlos Zambrano eats someone's head on the field.
he becomes the Incredible Hulk.
Right. Like, I imagine him, like, walking two guys, being pissed off, and then there's a grounder in the hole, and Reyes and Ramirez don't get to it in time, and it goes in the outfield. And then Ozzie again comes out to, like, scream at Carlos Zambrano, and Carlos Zambrano will grab whoever's playing first base and bash their head and
it's
eat
over.
It. So we have that to look forward to.
Ramirez and Reyes, and they'll just knock their heads together like the Three Stooges.
Right. And that could definitely happen. In the inning that I watched, there was a lazy ground ball towards in the hole between short and third, and either one of them could have easily gotten it, and they just sort of jogged
like,
over there.
You had it right now. I didn't.
And then they kind of stared at each other like, oh, this might not work out. So,
I think it's going really well.
Whatever happens with the Marlins, whether they win games or lose games, I am excited to see
it. It's going to be entertaining to watch, certainly. When by the end of the season, they've burned the stadium down.
Right. Their brand new stadium will just be a pile of rubble, and there'll be just the sculpture standing, mocking us all.
The Marlins Memorial.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be good. Personally, I'm really excited to see Yu Darvish. I don't know if you're familiar.
Yes.
With the latest Japanese import. I think
he's the scion of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for him because he's not really like any of the other Japanese pitchers we've had come over.
He's so tall.
He's super tall. He's like 6'5", and he's not gimmicky like Nomo, who had that windup that would fool you, and he doesn't, you know, have a gyro ball or whatever the hell it was, dice case that he had.
whatever fake pitch he made up.
Yeah, that like wasn't real, that was just like got hit for home runs. He's 6'5". He throws apparently super hard, like 97. That's where he's throwing in spring training. Mm-hmm. And he's just like a powerful dude, and he's also half Iranian.
Interesting.
And he has a really dumb haircut. So
I don't think I've ever actually seen him without a hat on. What can you describe his
like,
hair to me?
He's got like it's like not really. I wouldn't call it a mullet. Do you remember like when Kaz Matsui played for the Rockies? That like real thick hair that he had, sort of hanging off of his of his neck. And it's like I think it's dyed blonde.
Interesting.
From what I can tell. It's like a dyed blonde, like, I don't know, Japanese mullet, I guess you'd call it.
A jullet?
Yeah, something like that. I've only ever seen him with his hat on, but there, I don't know, there's something, like, just captivating about
oddly
him.
Oddly alluring.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the fact that he's half Iranian, half Japanese, or that...
That's really what does it for you, that's what you look for in a man.
I think so. And like,
you look for a Japanese mullet, half Iranian, half Japanese, really tall guy.
And, you know, he's just like an unknown quantity, like, so it's easy to get excited about him. And he's got a cool name, Yu Darvish.
I mean, that's like the best name ever.
And I'm excited that he plays for the Rangers and not for, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox or something like that. And the Rangers have, recent years, had a really good pitching staff, and apparently their pitching coaches and trainers are awesome at grooming pitchers. So
he's going to be big.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's not
he's
a flame
throw
out.
Seven no-hitters in his first 7 starts.
You know, yeah.
That's my bold prediction of the week.
Okay, good.
We'll see how long that holds up.
Should we do one of those each week? A bold prediction? Okay. You've got to say it with more force than that. You've got to be like, I tell you what,
listen,
Tom.
America and Tom, Yu Darvish is going to throw 7 perfect games followed by 7 no-hitters because he's going to have like a sort of a little bit of a climb. It's okay.
Okay.
But that's.
Can you put like a... like a catchphrase on the end of that? Like, bank it. Or like, because Brian says so. Or something like that.
That's what Brian says.
That's what Brian says. Okay. Okay, guys, that was Brian's first bold prediction of the week. That was Yu Darvish throwing 14 no-hitters, 7 of them perfect games,
yes.
7 of them just no-hitters.
Right.
Put it in the bank. That's what Brian says.
Yeah, you put that in your wallet and take it right to the bank.
Yep, that's a good catchphrase. Not enough force, though.
It's okay.
It's
episode 1. I'll work on it, man.
Now you got me all distracted. I'm just thinking about Yu Darvish and his no-hitters. Other things I'm excited for. Well, me and Brian both live in Colorado.
We do.
So we're Rockies fans.
We're live from scenic Golden, Colorado.
Scenic Golden right now in Brian's very professional-looking studio.
Yep.
It's on
loan from XM.
Yeah.
We rent it out on a weekly basis.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot for us to look forward to with the Rockies. I mean, we have Troy Tulowitzki, and that's always great.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, you know, look like this is going to be a playoff team by any means. I don't know. They could be. But the one thing we do have going for us is Jamie Moyer.
Ooh.
Is in our starting rotation.
Gandalf
and
the Grey.
That's a good nickname for him. I've been thinking if someone needs to give him a nickname because he's... You know,
because he's 50 years old.
60.
He's
49.
79.
Like, 50 sounds like hyperbole, but it's not.
It's not.
He's
49. Will he be 50 during the season?
I don't know. I haven't read that. I've read that if he wins a game, he'll become the winningest pitcher. Or, no,
the oldest pitcher to
ever win a game. Okay. So, I mean, he's got that going for him. But I saw a picture of him the other day, and, like, he straight up looks like an old dude that would work in my office.
I mean, he's like one of the coaches. Like,
yeah, and I read today, like, his repertoire of pitches, his fastball is 80 miles an hour.
More of a cooler than a heater,
like,
maybe.
I don't understand. I mean, he's pitched well this spring, I guess, but I'm a little
you're
worried
skeptical
for him. And I'm just worried for, like, his mental health, what might happen to him this year.
When his elbow explodes.
Right.
Like, during his second start.
Or, like, he gives up 7 home runs in an inning and he's just not looking
breaks
good.
Breaks down.
But what he does have is this awesome t-shirt that I found on Twitter the other day, which, I mean, you know, God bless Jamie Moyer, but he really needs, like, a better, I don't know, copywriter or marketer on his staff, because...
give us the shirt. Give us the 98
shirt. So it's a black t-shirt, and it... So I should add, if you buy it, it benefits the Moyer Foundation, which I don't know what that is, but
I think it's some kind of I think it's like a youth group kind of thing.
Yeah,
it benefits underprivileged.
The tagline
kids.
Here says "helping children in distress," so yeah. That's never a bad thing.
No, certainly you never want to, you know, not help children. In
yeah,
distress.
If there's children in distress, you're
if that's your charity, that's a shitty charity.
Yeah,
ignoring children in distress.
So Jamie Moyer, good job with that. I don't know if I'm gonna buy your shirt because it costs $25, but. It's a black
that's
t-shirt.
That's an American Apparel tee, man. That's a good fit.
That's true. Made in America. You're going to let me say what's on the shirt because
yeah,
the people
totally
need to hear.
We're totally going to get there.
So the, okay, so I think it is going to turn 50 this year because the in faded numbers on the front of the shirt is the number 50.
Okay.
So that must mean it's something.
Is that not his number?
Oh, I hope not.
I don't think so.
I don't think
so. I don't think it is.
Okay, and then, so then there's just a series of words that come down over that faded 50. And they're all like
Faded 50. That's his nickname. Man.
Yeah. They're all like different sort of fonts and sizes. Like the first one is athlete in
okay.
big purple.
Sure.
And then below that is philanthropist in
all
smaller
right.
purple.
Clearly.
And then under that is father.
All right.
Big purple.
Can't deny that.
Champion.
Well.
Ageless.
Well.
Comeback.
Okay.
History.
Alrighty.
And then the last one in big white block letters is Moyer.
Boom.
So. Like, this shirt is just a series of words that mean things that
yeah.
I guess are somehow related to Jamie Moyer. Like, I don't even know what you would
to
call this shirt.
To varying degrees of truthfulness, also.
Yeah. Like, athlete, philanthropist, father, champion. I don't know where he get champion. Did he win a World Series?
I mean, he has, probably, because he's been
around
for like 30 years.
Yeah. Ageless. That's, you know.
That's yet to be seen, I guess.
Right. Comeback in history. I mean, they're
I mean,
not
that's
even...
A little... That's a little arrogant. History,
I think,
Jamie?
I think my favorite part is that they're not even all the same parts of speech. Like, verbs and nouns and adjectives all mixed into one shit.
Ageless. Throwing.
Like, ageless comeback. Those don't go together.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in buying one of these, it's really easy. You go to teespring.com/Moyer.
Okay, catchy.
And... Oh, it looks like this is kind of like a Kickstarter for shirts. Like, enough have to be ordered and
before they actually make them.
And he's already reached his quota.
Good on him. Good for the Moyer Foundation.
Yeah, so buy that shirt for $25 if you are a fan of comebacks and...
Or history.
Agelessness.
let's be honest. Who isn't?
Yeah, but... And honestly, though, I am going to root for Jamie Moyer.
I mean, all he has to do to get that first win is beat the Astros, so...
Yeah, I'd like to see him get that win and then just not embarrass himself. Like, if he's going to pitch, you know, admirably, then I am all for that, definitely, as a Rockies fan.
But we can't pity keep him in?
No, I definitely don't want to see that happen. That would be terrible if we were
that's
just...
That's bad for everyone.
Yeah, if we're just like, oh, it's funny to throw him out there.
Look at him.
It's cute.
Yeah, faded 50's pitching again. We're
yeah.
fine.
Okay, so... That's me and Brian's hot sports takes on baseball. Hope you enjoyed that. We're actually going to stick with baseball here. We are going to transition into our first segment,
ooh,
which
hello.
We think will be a recurring segment.
Hello.
And
I think our first segment was actually my bold prediction.
Right. I'm sorry. Well, that was we added that in last minute, so that wasn't planned. But okay, so our second segment, and being that we are on thegoodmenproject.com. We thought it would be appropriate to take a look at the sports landscape and talk about some of the people in sports who are acting like good sportsmen and people acting like bad sportsmen.
Indeed.
So what we're going to do is each week me and Brian are going to pick a good sportsman and a bad sportsman, and we're going to talk about why the bad ones are such huge jerk faces
mm-hmm.
and why the good ones should be worthy of your praise and why you should be paying attention to them.
Exactly.
So, do you want to start with your bad guy, Brian?
Yeah, we could do that. I think my non-sportsman of the week is going to be Ubaldo Jimenez.
Mm. Good call.
Pitcher for the Indians, nay Rockies.
Yes. Formerly of the Rockies.
decided to fly off the handle a little bit this weekend, and then plunk good old Troy Tulowitzki.
Which is messed up.
Which is messed up, especially during spring training.
Right.
And then after said plunking, decided to immediately throw his glove down like he's some kind of hockey player.
Right.
And
that was the
waddle at Tulo.
That was the thing that really got me. Tulo's
kind of a large guy. I don't know if I'd want to step
that. Yeah, Tulo's a big dude. He's got a lot of leg, too. You know, he's tall.
He's 80% leg.
He's, like, mostly leg, and I've found that that's usually a dangerous combination.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with those guys.
No, certainly not.
But, yeah, that's what I was surprised about. Like, I heard about him hitting Tulowitzki, and I was like, oh.
No, that's fine.
You know, whenever he hit him, like, I'm sure they yelled at each other. But then I saw that video, and he hit him and then immediately threw his glove down and ran towards home plate. Like, Tulo had said, I don't know, maybe two words before Jimenez was at home plate.
Which is understandable when you get hit with a baseball, because that hurts a lot.
I don't think I've ever seen a guy get hit with a fastball and not at least, like, glare towards the pitcher or do something. And for, if people aren't familiar, there's a little bit of backstory here.
Mm-hmm.
So Jimenez was traded from the Rockies last year, and this offseason decided to say that he was happy that he got traded, and he had been mad at the Rockies all last year for not getting a contract extension, and he thought it wasn't fair that Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez got extensions when he didn't. Then so Troy Tulowitzki said things to the press that basically amounted to Ubaldo needs to just be quiet and move on.
Yeah.
Which is true. I mean, the guy's on a new team now. It's a year later. Like,
get over it. It
wasn't even that big of a deal. It's not like, you know, you really wronged Ubaldo that hard. And it's just baseball. And then
business, baby.
Yeah, and so I don't think Tulowitzki is wrong in saying things he did. And then, you know, in a spring training game to hit a guy on purpose is just dumb.
Yeah, and then being pretty adamant after the fact. Like, no, I mean, I just lose control of my fastball.
Yeah, that was another pretty cowardly thing. I mean, if you're going to be pissed at Troy Tulowitzki and hit him,
own up to being a dick, like, at least.
Yeah.
At least do that.
Yeah, and I don't know, it was really weird, I mean, especially for us as Rockies fans, because even after Ubaldo was traded, I mean, I still loved him.
Yeah.
I think you did, too.
Yeah, I still wanted to see him, like, I wanted to see him do good.
Right, and we were, I mean, I think most fans of the team were pretty upset when he was traded.
Mm-hmm.
He'd always been a really sweet guy, good to the fans, and, you know, the best pitcher that the team has ever had. So, I mean, this is a really, like, weird feeling for us, because I don't think I've ever done, like, a 180 this quickly on a player. I mean, I can't help but wonder if there's maybe something else that we don't even know about. Like, maybe Ubaldo and Tulowitzki had been hating each other for a while.
Maybe.
How
do you even hate Tulo, though? He
yeah.
He's like a big old teddy bear.
And I find that hard to believe.
Big old teddy bear made of legs.
Yeah. Like, if that was true, I feel like Ubaldo would say something along those lines if he wanted to, like, try to clear his name or whatever.
Uh-huh.
If
he was like, no, Troy Tulowitzki's secretly really racist. He
was so mean to me ever since I got here. He stole my money. He
took my wallet.
Out of my wallet. Like, he's just the biggest jerk.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I don't think anything like that happened. I think what it more has to do with is just, I think Ubaldo's a little childish. I mean,
isn't he only still, like, 23 years old?
And, I mean, when he started, I think he, when he played for Colorado, the word was he lived with his mom, you know, like, downtown in Denver.
Yeah.
And when he was a rookie, he lived with, like, he was basically like an exchange student. Like, he'd come over from Latin America, and he was living with some, like, old couple in their home.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's just a young guy, and the way he handled himself last year on the team, he was injured all year, apparently, but kept throwing and doing terribly. And I guess, you know, teammates and coaches were asking him if he was hurt, and he just refused.
No.
Yeah, which is just a dumb thing to do, and it's something that a young person would do who doesn't know what they're doing. So I chalked this up more to him just being young and stupid rather than
maybe being like an asshole.
Yeah, than being like a massive just jerk.
More being a kid than anything.
Right, but I mean,
that might be fair.
It is time for him to grow up. I mean, he's on the Indians now. He needs to, I mean, this is like a make or break year for him. Because if he doesn't bounce back even a little bit, he could be on the fast track just like out.
Yeah.
I mean, how many pitchers have we seen flame out after one good year?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty upset at him, and I agree that he's a kind of a big jerk this week. But I'm hoping that in the long
run, a redemption.
He fixes it. Maybe in a few weeks he will be our good sportsman of the week.
Maybe. Who knows? That's the beauty of the Aaron Teal.
You never know what's going to happen on the Aaron Teal. okay, so
we're getting it together.
I'm going to go to my bad sportsman, who also exists in the world of baseball.
Okay.
And This is a little old news. I mean, this all came out last week. But so Frank McCourt, former owner of the Dodgers, recently sold the team to Magic Johnson.
To Magic Johnson personally.
An ownership group led by Magic Johnson. which is a good thing for baseball, because Magic Johnson's cool. And I think he'll do a good job taking care of his team.
Until in 3 weeks he's our bad sportsman of the week.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. It's open-ended, folks. But the crazy thing is that Magic Johnson and his group of owners bought this team for $2 billion.
What?
Which is...
With a B?
With a B. And I also read they bought it straight cash, homie.
Wow.
No financing.
Just boom.
Nothing. They just
wire transfer, let's do this.
Slap $2 billion on the table.
It is in one super big briefcase full of $1 million.
Boom.
Bills.
Give me the Dodgers.
Yeah.
so that's a good thing. But the bad thing about this is that Frank McCourt, who has spent years just basically ruining the Dodgers franchise, now gets to walk away with a $1 billion profit.
As we said before, straight cash.
Straight cash from Magic Johnson.
And right from his pocket.
The thing that's so frustrating about that is, I think when he bought the team, he bought it for something like $450 million.
Uh-huh.
And then he proceeded to just misappropriate funds left and right. He was using money that should have been allocated for the team to, like, buy, mountain chalets and yachts and shit.
Yeah.
And was basically just being a terrible owner.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got divorced from his wife, who, sued him for half the ownership, and he was in all kinds of debt. And, so the Dodgers spent last year basically having their funds frozen. I mean, they couldn't sign free agents or make trades or do anything like that because they didn't have any money. Their owner was in debt. So he gets to be, one of the worst owners in history. And he gets to walk away with $1 billion.
$1 billion.
And ride off into the sunset and be like, I'm hood rich now.
What's up? I'm so hood rich. If you want to get an idea of maybe how terrible a spender...
Oh, you have some numbers for us?
I have some numbers.
Good. That's why Brian's here. He needs the numbers.
I'm stagnant. I'm not stagnant. After his divorce from his wife, this came out in court documents during the divorce. She was getting a stipend of somewhere between $600,000 and $1 million a month from him. His two sons, that was from his personal money, though, so I guess that's not directly from
him. But he was also in debt when he bought the team, like the way he financed it. So he didn't have money to be doing this.
But on the Dodgers payroll, both of his adult sons, one making $200,000 a year, the other making $400,000 a year, while having no job title or specific duties.
Nice.
Just getting paid, making paper.
I want my dad to own a baseball team. Guess what?
Your job is special baseball.
You get to come to baseball games with me and make $200,000 a year.
$100. Yeah. Also on the payroll was a 71-year-old Russian physicist named Vladimir Sfunt. He was a special advisor, quote, to the Dodgers. His job, another quote, this time added by me, was to watch every game on television from his home in Boston and send positive energy to the team and its players. This is a true story, Tom. You could be like, I'm making it up.
How do people like this get rich?
He lived most of his life in Russia and knows absolutely nothing about baseball, but was paid a six-figure salary for his long-distance healing, which he dubs V-Energy. he also, on one occasion, supplied his holistic healing abilities to then-Dodgers player Jason Wirth in order to fix an elbow injury. This healing was not so effective, and Wirth later sued the Dodgers for misdiagnosis.
I hadn't heard any of this.
So, Frank McCourt.
Yeah.
Best guy.
That's just unbelievable to me. And technically you can say, well, he owned the team, he can do what he wants, like, it's a free market, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, there's larger ramifications of that. There's, millions of Dodger fans who care about this team, and there's players whose livelihoods depend on this team, and people who work for the team who depend on this team.
Yeah.
And this guy can just treat it like,
like his own personal crazy bank.
Yeah, his bank of money to give to crazy Russian people instead of, people who actually need it.
Are you saying that Vladimir Sfunt was not in need?
I'm saying that he was not
needed. Saying that he was not fairly compensated for his healing abilities?
And the more frustrating thing is we wouldn't probably know any of this unless it was for the divorce.
Yeah.
Because all this stuff came out of the divorce papers. Yeah. The court proceedings. But he could have just submarined this team and been like, well, I don't know.
I don't know.
What will happen?
And oh, never shucks, guys. Did I not do good?
And now he's got $1 billion in his pocket. And that's $1 billion after all of his debts have been paid, is what I read. After.
Interesting.
So he's in millions of dollars of debt.
Gone.
He's going to take...
Fresh start.
He's going to take that $2 billion, use $1 billion of it to pay his stupid debts.
Out.
And then he's still one of the richest men in America.
I mean, that's the American dream, isn't it?
Frank McCourt, you are my bad sportsman of the week. And you can just go
be on the show, though. I mean, give us money to do the show.
Yeah. Maybe if you like the show, Frank, if you're listening, we could use $200,000 a week to do
it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's market value.
That's market value for
I mean, you got $1 billion. You can do what you want with it, man.
Yeah, that's a billion.
You don't have a team to worry
man.
About anymore. So, you know, follow your dreams, Frank. Give us some money.
Hopefully they involve me here in Heal.
Oh, yes. Okay. So now we talked about the bad guys. I do want to briefly talk about some good men in sports.
Okay.
I have chosen.
No, this is gonna be good man this week because I was unable to find a good sportsman.
Brian was unable to find a good sportsman because sports are just a terrible
black hole of
swamp of just deceit and
deceit and trust,
no morals. So that's okay. It's understandable for Brian. But I found one, and my guy this week is R.A. Dickey,
mm-hmm.
who a lot of people probably don't. Know him or are too familiar with him. He is a pitcher for the New York Mets.
Okay.
He's a knuckleballer, which is cool. There aren't many of those left. I think he might actually be the only one left now that Wakefield's gone.
Uh-huh.
But R.A. Dickey recently wrote a memoir, and there's some press coming out about it. It hasn't been released yet, but, you know, there's excerpts and all of those things going
some
out
leads.
To
some leads.
Drum up some buzz.
Uh-huh.
And the interesting thing about this memoir is that R.A. Dickey talks at length about... some pretty terrible things that happened to him in his past. He talks about how he was sexually abused as an 8-year-old, and how that experience affected him in his adult life. How he was suicidal at one point. He talks about living with his alcoholic mother when he was 5, and she would take him to bars, and they would stay there until the bars closed. And he's
great.
And the nice thing is he's honest about that stuff, and then he's also honest about how that affected him as an adult. He discusses how he ended up cheating on his wife,
mm-hmm.
And all the guilt and pain that that caused, and he tries to sort of get at where all of that came from. And I just think it's really cool that more and more athletes are doing that these days, you know, being really honest with people.
Not being afraid to sort of break the veneer of
exactly.
what an athlete should be.
Right. And, you know,
truth.
Just being really upfront about some uncomfortable things. And we see it a lot more frequently. There's guys like, you know, Ron Artest who, you know, admits to having psychiatric problems,
mm-hmm.
Mental issues. Delonte West, who suffers from bipolar, he's talked about the problems he's had with that and the medications he's on. And even Jerry West recently wrote a book talking about the abuse that he suffered as a kid. And, I don't know, I think it just really helps us as sports fans, when we watch these guys understand that they are human beings before they are athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps us be more responsible as sports fans. 'Cause, you know, you think of the guys from the past, you know, like Mickey Mantle was a terrible, just like, drunk bastard who beat all of his family, and no one ever knew that because these sports writers just wrote about him as a hero.
He's an American hero.
Yeah, and we don't, I mean, you don't really grow up hearing stuff about those guys. And I think it makes it easier for the athletes, too, to know that they can open up that way.
Yeah, it's certainly got to be better for their mental health overall.
Right, and you know, there's a lot of guys now, I mean, like Zach Greinke missed a whole year from depression, and I think that 20 years ago, he would have never admitted that he was depressed.
Yeah.
And that's why he sat out a year. But now we as fans are becoming more accepting, and so the players are becoming more open, and I think that's really helpful, especially since we have yet to see a openly gay athlete. And hopefully that's something
that'll... I mean, except for Derek Jeter.
Except for Derek Jeter. With all those women that he sleeps with, obviously a ruse.
Bonafide.
Right.
But...
I mean, if you listen to any... you know, Red Sox fan, him and A-Rod are
just any of the Red Sox fanfic that you read?
Yes. And I read a lot of it.
And boy, do we ever read a lot of it here at the Iron Heel.
Yeah, so that's good. And, you know, I feel like I don't know if we're ever going to get an openly gay athlete or anything more than just people willing to talk about their past, but mm-hmm. I feel like we're trending that way, and guys like R.A. Dickey are helping that. And that's what we want here at the Errant Heel and the Good Men Project.
Boom.
Something we'd like to see. Okay, so there's a little bit of good news. As I said, Brian doesn't have a good guy, so that's fine.
Sorry, we're everyone.
2-1 bad guys to good guys this week. So moving on, we've been talking a lot about baseball.
Let it be known, we're going to try not to make this a baseball-centric podcast.
Right, or Rockies-centric podcast. Right. I mean, Jamie Moyer is a national story. We can talk about him, and so is Ubaldo Jimenez.
Yeah, so I think we're still fine.
Yeah.
And it is baseball season now.
Right, it's
so
opening.
I mean, over the summer, it's probably going to be mostly
baseball. It's opening day 1.5.
Yeah.
So that's good. But also, this week was the NCAA championship game. Brian, did you watch any of the NCAA championship game?
Tom, I tried to.
You did
not. I'm not a big college basketball.
That's understandable.
Guy. Despite taking third place in my office's March Madness bracket,
congratulations,
thank
my
you.
Friend.
Walked away with a cool $5.
Nice.
I watched the first half and a good portion of the second half, and then I just kind of.
Well, I mean,
I drifted away.
Yeah, it wasn't super close. I mean, you got a good sense for the game. I'm also not a huge NCAA guy. I kind of been one of those snobs who's like, the NBA is a better product.
You say that a lot.
Because it is. I mean,
well, yeah.
Like, in college basketball, like, they play a majority of the time like shitty basketball. but this year was different just because the Kentucky team is good. Mm-hmm. And especially because of Anthony Davis, who is the unibrow gentleman mm-hmm. who blocks lots of shots.
Yep. Some with his unibrow, actually.
Some with his unibrow.
Just like it lashes out.
And, I mean, it was really impressive to watch him in that game because he made one field goal, and he still dominated the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't even just, like, the rebounds and blocks and steals and assists that he had. You could almost see, even when he wasn't going for blocks, you could see the Kansas players, like, freaking out
terrified
in the air
that he was near them.
As they were going for a layup and just, like, clanking it off the top of the backboard. Like, they would be going for pretty open layups, and the ball would just not even get near the hoop because mm-hmm. they knew that Anthony Davis is somewhere nearby.
He's on the court right now.
Yeah, and he could just embarrass them. I mean, that was exciting to watch. I'm excited to see him in the pros. Last week, I think it was Ethan Strauss in The Classical, wrote a really good article about how he could sort of revolutionize the defensive power forward.
Interesting.
Because as the NBA has been trending towards power forwards that have an outside shot, your Dirk Nowitzki's, Chris Bosh's, even Kevin Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, 7-footers who can step out to the elbow and hit a jump shot, and it's really hard for traditional power forwards to guard those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that with the Nuggets game I watched recently. Kenneth Faried, who's kind of the prototype of the power forward, you know, rebounder, bank bodies, just got torched by Dirk Nowitzki all game. Like, there's nothing he could do. And Anthony Davis seems like he could be a guy who could change that. Like, he's 7 feet tall, ridiculous wingspan, and is quick enough and can jump high enough and fast enough to
torch really, the Dirks of the world.
Really bother Dirk Nowitzki. Like, there's no one in the league right now who can bother Dirk's shot, and mm-hmm. I feel like Anthony Davis could do that, which I think will be really interesting, and it'll be interesting to see if that's a trend, if there's more players like Davis coming out, or if, you know, he's once in a generation. But it's fun to watch him play. I'm excited to see him playing the pros because pros are better.
Because, let's be honest, he's going to play big boy ball now.
Right, he's going to play with the big boys, and it's going to be exciting.
Did you see the thing where someone was saying that the Wildcats could beat, like, a shitty NBA team?
Oh, that transitions perfectly, Brian, because I have some questions for you that and we didn't plan this beforehand.
My word.
Folks.
This is episode one, guys. It's not even a plan.
So, yeah, this happens every year in college basketball. Someone's like, takes the best college basketball team, they're like, I bet they could beat the Charlotte Bobcats. And then it's like this stupid debate that is just meaningless. Like, it doesn't, it's dumb. People do this every year.
Yeah.
But I decided we should spice this up a little bit.
Okay.
So, Brian.
Let's go.
I have some questions that I'd like you to answer. So, the first one is, do you think that the University of Kentucky team, as it's currently constructed, could beat the Charlotte Bobcats at a game of pub trivia?
Yes, I do. I think...
You think Kentucky's taking that one?
I think Kentucky's got that one on lock. I
Explain. Mean,
those kids are still in college. They're still going to classes regularly.
Well, it's a John Calipari team.
Well, maybe not regularly, but
right.
They're still enrolled in classes nominally, at least.
I'm going to agree with that, because I bet there's, like, an 11th and 12th man on the UK team who actually do go to class.
And, keeping the team GPA up.
Yeah, who are just there to say that, like, we graduated, so their percentages look good. And, okay, so I'm with you on that one.
All right.
Okay, there's another one. I think I mentioned this on Twitter, but I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
So, here's the setup.
Mm-hmm.
UK versus the Bobcats. But University of Kentucky has a Direwolf starting at small forward. All
right.
And the Bobcats have Liam Neeson's character from The Gray,
ooh,
who kills wolves, starting at shooting guard.
Okay.
Who's taking that one?
I gotta go with... with the direwolf on this one.
You're going direwolf on this one?
Maybe he's used to killing regular-sized wolves.
But he killed a lot of regular-sized wolves.
I don't know if that's...
This is one direwolf.
I don't think you're doing your wolf math correctly.
A direwolf is pretty boss.
Yeah. It's a lot smarter. It's a lot bigger.
That's
true.
It's
a lot fiercer.
Okay. I've got a twist for you now.
Okay.
Let's say, same setup, but Liam Neeson's daughter has been kidnapped and forced to coach Kentucky against her will.
Oh,
and he can
man.
Only get her back by beating Kentucky.
Oh, and that's Neeson all the way.
You think
that's,
that
yeah.
pushes her over the edge? He's going to kill that direwolf?
He is possessed of a certain set of skills.
That's true.
Are ideal for beating wolves.
Okay, so that's like a toss-up, but if you throw the daughter in,
that's
definitely
that's where it goes.
Okay.
It goes Neeson.
All right, I have another one for you.
Okay. Love these.
Do you think that Kentucky could beat the Charlotte Bobcats if Anthony Davis was instead named D'Anthony Avis?
I think he would be really distracted by the terrible name he's been saddled with. And
like, he'd just be worse at basketball?
His play.
So you're taking the Bobcats?
Because, look, as of now, he's got, like, a fucked up eyebrow stitch, but he's got a normal person name.
That's true.
If he had a fucked up eyebrow stitch and a shitty weird guy name, there's no way he's an athlete at that point.
That's true. Everyone would have just made fun of him so hard through his life, even if he was 7 feet tall.
His soul crushed by, like, fourth
So he's probably not even on the team.
He's not even on the
situation.
Team.
And then Kentucky's...
Your whole question is invalid, Tom.
That's true. Okay. Kentucky's torched.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is going to be the last one. Do you think that the University of Kentucky could beat the Charlotte Bobcats if Michael Vick was white?
I mean, if Michael Vick was white... All things are possible. No, no.
No, you don't think that makes a difference?
Is he on either team?
Okay.
Or is he he's watching?
He's not even there.
He's not even in he's not even in the state.
Yeah, basically I'm hoping that this will spawn another captivating ESPN The Magazine article about what if Michael Vick was white.
Michael Vick was white.
With another picture. Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. so you're saying that has no bearing.
That has no bearing.
UK is going to lose.
Obviously. All right.
Well, you're a smart man. Okay. So there you have it, folks. You settled that debate once and for all.
Yeah.
It sounds like, on the whole...
It's really hard for
it's a
college
toss-up.
Basketball
I think,
team to beat an NBA basketball team.
But I think in your... you had UK taking two of those and the Bobcats taking two of those.
Oh, well.
So...
Never mind. Fuck me, then.
50-50, guys.
Yeah, I guess.
The debate rages on.
The debate lives.
We'll never know. Okay.
Are we going to come to another one of our hopefully recurring segments?
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking give that guy a nickname.
Give that guy a nickname. Okay. This is what we're going to do. Every week, I'm going to pick a player and email that player's
Wait,
name to
Brian.
Wait,
you going to pick all the players, Thomas?
I mean, I guess you could pick a player once in a while.
I don't want it like that. Sorry.
I mean, we'll talk about it when the mic's off so it doesn't get awkward. But we're going to pick a player that, as far as we know, does not have a nickname.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to try to give him a nickname.
Okay.
So this week, I told Brian that we were going to nickname Carlos Boozer.
The Boozer.
And Brian told me he's
not
got
my
a
nickname.
Brian told me he's got a doozy. So Brian, what is your
I
nickname?
I have several doozies.
Okay, hit me.
I was doing a little Carlos Boozer.
Carlos Boozer.
I was doing a little research today on Mr. Boozer.
Uh-huh.
Something I didn't know about him. He was born in Germany.
Oh.
On a military base in Germany.
That's interesting.
Raised in Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska.
Wow, worldly man.
So my first nickname. For him was the I did a rebound because, as you know, the Iditarod held in Alaska. So, Carlos, I did a rebound, Boozer.
That's a good one. I like it because it's like, it's Iditarod, but it's also like, I did a rebound. Like, you could yell at that when he grabs on.
I did a move out, guys.
Okay. He's like gonna say that. Good one, Brian.
And my other was being he's from the north. Yes. And winter is coming, Tom. You know.
Oh. If you're going Game of Thrones, I'm gonna love this.
He's gonna be the king beyond the wall.
Okay.
Combat King James.
I like that king yeah. beyond the wall because they're gonna meet in the playoffs most likely.
Boom.
He's the king beyond the wall.
Like a wildling invasion.
I like that. I like both of those. Those are both solid. I only have one nickname for Mr. Boozer, and when I say it, it's probably not gonna sound funny. So you're gonna have to let me explain.
Okay.
But and it's there's a lot of.
There's a lot
thought
of,
and detail in this,
a lot of backstory,
this,
a lot of
right?
lore.
So it's going to make sense when I finish
okay.
it. But I think that Carlos Boozer's nickname should be The Bachelor.
Okay.
And this is why.
Go on.
A. Like most of the contestants
Point
on The
first.
Bachelor, he seems, you know, pretty with it on the surface. Like, the guys on The Bachelor are all pretty good-looking dudes. They seem to be well-spoken and successful. But then you watch the show and you're like, wow, this dude's, like, kind of weird and dumb. And Carlos Boozer, you know, you look at his numbers, he gets the points and the rebounds.
Seemingly competent basketball player.
Seemingly some guy you want on your team. But then, you know, his teams always kind of fail. And when you watch him, you're like, I'm not really sure what that dude's doing out there. That's so great. He's just sort of throwing in easy layups here and there. And the guy on the bench is outplaying him.
Okay.
So that's the first reason.
All right.
The second reason, the much better reason, is without a rose... Mr. Boozer's not getting a ring.
Oh!
Did you see what I did there?
Time.
Did you see what I did there? Because on The Bachelor, you get the roses, and then the Bulls have Derrick Rose, and, you know, without that, they're not getting their ring. You like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. I like
so,
it.
So,
I like it a lot.
I think out of all of those, I still like I did a rebound.
Thank you.
How about, here's Thank the you. Deal. If the Bulls perform well, he can be I did a rebound if he plays good
all
in the
right.
playoffs. But
if, not,
if they fail, and
Carlos the Bachelor Boozer.
Looks like his fault, Carlos the Bachelor Boozer.
All right.
I
like it.
Yeah, I think we did a good job on that because there were a lot of low hanging fruit there with the last name Boozer. Carlos Booze Cruz Boozer, and that would have been dumb.
I mean, I still like that, but.
Well, you know, it's a different kind of humor.
Right. Not something that we stoop to
right.
here on the Aaron Heel.
Right, we're above that. So I think we did a good job.
I'm proud of us.
I'm very proud of us. I like how that segment went. Good job,
worked
Ryan.
Well.
How are we doing on time, Ryan?
Tom, we're creeping on about 50 minutes right now.
Are you serious?
I am totally serious.
Okay.
We've been talking for quite a bit.
I only have one last thing
All right,
that I want to say.
We'll do that. That'll be our little wrap-up seg.
And this is one something I saw right before I came down here, right
okay.
before I left work.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. Someone
we,
is,
we got a little studio audience.
Someone's coming.
Studio.
Can we edit this out later?
We can edit that. We're fine.
Okay. So before I left for work,
uh-huh.
I was on the Twitters.
As you want to do.
I saw some Twitters from uh-huh. a baseball player named Torrey Hunter.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar. He's
I
a
know.
Center fielder for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Is that the team still?
Yes.
Okay.
That is their technical name.
All right.
And he's good. And he had three tweets, and I will read them to you.
All right.
He says, my alarm went off in my house while I was in it. 20 minutes later, I saw cops checking out the scene. Went outside and they drew their guns on me. That's the first tweet. Second
All right.
tweet.
Good start.
They didn't believe I lived here in Newport Coast, so they walked me upstairs at gunpoint to get my ID. Now here I'd like to point out that Torrey Hunter is an African American.
Okay.
And then the third tweet is when I showed him my ID, he said, I'm an Angel fan. Hope you guys have a great season. End quote. Torrey Hunter's comment is, all caps, are you kidding me, LOL. Now, two things. First thing, fuck those cops for being kind of racist.
Yep.
Second thing, if you're an Angels fan, you know what the hell Torrey Hunter looks like.
Yeah.
Like, he's been your starting center fielder for years now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the, like, I don't know, 9 black guys who play baseball these days.
Uh-huh.
So, not only are those cops racist and overzealous.
They're also liars.
They're also goddamn liars. Because they're definitely not Angels fans.
Maybe they're not liars. Maybe they just wanted to have a little fun with one of their favorite ball players.
I feel like that could be true, except that there were guns drawn on them.
That's
like,
fair.
You can josh them around a little without getting your gun out.
But how do they know he plays for the Angels if they're not fans? If they just saw his name.
Well, that's the thing. They said they are fans after they saw his name.
Well, so they're fans, if they've heard of him at least.
Right, but then they saw him come out of the house and they were like, oh, that's Torrey Hunter, the center fielder for my favorite baseball team.
He had a hat on, man.
What? He was probably in like a t-shirt.
Yeah, not a jersey.
Okay, if you were walking down the street and you saw D Dexter Fowler, you'd be like, that's Dexter Fowler, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, probably would.
And, I mean, I don't know. So, those cops are stupid.
I mean,
I'm sorry that that happened to Tori Hunter.
Playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
And, or is it angel's advocate?
Yeah, good one, Brian. That's a great way to bring the show home. Okay, so we've been talking for much longer than we expected to, I think.
We're at about 90 minutes right now.
Wow.
Tori Hunter Twitter story.
Those last 40 minutes are really fast.
Yeah, it flew by.
Okay, so we're going to end that here. Thanks for listening to the first ever episode
of the Aaron Heel
of the Aaron Heel
goodmenproject.com.
This is something you'll probably tell your kids about.
Yeah. If you want to get in touch with us,
yeah, Brian, give them the info.
We do have an email. It's theaaronheel@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also follow us on Twitter at theaaronheel.
Right. We don't have a picture yet. We have one of those stupid eggs.
Well, I mean, we'll get there.
We'll get a good picture.
Let's do that after the show.
Yeah, I actually have a good one that I want to use, but I don't know if we can find it.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll want to use it either. But
so yeah, theaaronheel@gmail.com. Shoot us an email. Tell us what you think of the show. Follow us on Twitter. I'm sure we'll be doing something there at some point in our lives.
Yeah, we'll tweet our casts
out. We will be showing up on iTunes eventually, so
right.
You can go there and write a review of the show. Hopefully.
Right.
At some point in the future. But this has been episode 1. We will talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for joining us, guys. It was fun. Did we really go that long?